Did you miss the last game? Did you miss what was said after the last game? It's time to rewind. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It was Shota Imanaga against Freddy Peralta. A couple of aces going for the Milwaukee Brewers and Chicago Cubs Game 3 from American Family Field. Seemed like the Brewers were doomed from the first pitch of the ball game. That's when Michael Busch would hit a home run, and the Brewers quickly found themselves down 1-0. But however, they did answer back in the bottom half of the first inning. That's when Wild Bill William Contreras would tie things up 1-1.
Fly ball to the left. Does it have enough? It is up and gone. We're tied. Seventh home run of the year for William Contreras. His first since the 14th of June against the Cardinals.
Yeah, definitely important to get William Contreras back hot and on fire for this Brewers team in the second half. Freddy Peralta shuts things down in inning number two, but in inning number three, he finds himself in some trouble again. Kyle Tucker, a one-out single, a walk to Seiya Suzuki. Then everyone's favorite here in Milwaukee, Pete Crow Armstrong, a double to do some more damage. That would bring across Tucker. It was 2-1. Ballesteros, the double, would make it a bases-clearing double. Three RBIs for Ballesteros on that would make it 5-1. Brewers try to fight back in the bottom part of the fourth inning, leading things off. It's William Contreras again with his second of the day.
Imanaga's 0-1. Line to right. That's got some legs. Back Tucker. He's got another one. Baby Bull has awakened.
Who says the Brewers don't hit home runs? Oh, that's such a nice, easy swing by Contreras.
It was a nice, easy swing. Not a lot going in Milwaukee's favor after that. They would make it 5-3 in the bottom part of the fifth after Sal Frelick had a sacrifice fly. The Milwaukee Brewers near the tops in baseball in sack flies right now. Then in the sixth inning, after D.L. Hall would come in to pitch, Dansby Swanson hits a double. Kyle Tucker has a double in there. It was 8-3 after the sixth inning. In the ninth, the Cubs add on some more insurance runs. Nico Horner, a sack fly, and Ian Happ, a home run. Brewers fall to the Cubs, a final score of 10-3. The win goes to Shota Imanaga. The loss to Freddy Peralta. He is now 12-5 on the season. William Contreras recorded his first multi-home run game since the 7th of April back in 2024. It's his fifth two-homer game of his career. It's his sixth multi-homer game by a Brewers player this season. The last one, Charlie, who was the last guy to do it? Who was the last one?
Multi-homer game in a Brewers season?
This year. Yeah.
Why am I blanking?
Joey Ortiz.
It was Joey Ortiz.
That's right. Joey Ortiz on June 24th is the last time we saw a multi-homer game. Andrew Vaughn, he recorded a hit in the game. He's recorded a hit in every game during the homestand. Has a hit in 13 of the first 16 games with Milwaukee. He's batting .365, has 9 extra base hits in that stretch. 21 RBIs since joining Milwaukee. The Brewers had another sellout. It was their 10th one of the season. 42,000 fans in attendance. It was the most attended Brewer game since the October 1st game against the Cubs last season as well. Brewers dropped the series finale 64-44 on the year. Milwaukee has a one-game lead in the National League Central over the Cubs, a 4-4 record against Chicago with still that five-game series coming up just a couple of weeks. August 18th is when that is set to kick off. After the game was over, manager Pat Murphy speaking to the media as well. I'm sure you know how he's always in such a great, happy, chipper mood. That was pretty much the same vibe after the 10-3 loss to the Cubs. Here is the manager, Pat Murphy, speaking to the media after the game.
Always gives you a chance. He did some good things. You know, he'd like to have that one pitch back. I don't mind that you know, the kid hit the first pitch out of the park. But we got deeper into it, you know, walking people. That's not part of his gig. That's not the best Freddie when he walks people. How many did he walk?
Four.
That's not Freddie, you know. And that just puts you deeper in your pitch count. And, you know, we could have left him in. He had innings left. But just, you know, he's had a big workload. He's been great for us. Didn't go his way today. He wasn't his best self. Thank you.
That Crow Armstrong double, you can't fault Terrain for not making an incredible play, but is that a play you've seen him make before? Did that one stand out to you at all? Is like, I would have liked to have that one.
I mean, that kid, the blue-haired kid, hits the ball really hard, and it was hit really hard. And I've seen Bryce make great plays. I don't know if he could make that one, but I think you can't ask people to like rob home runs and make plays on 105. But I see what you're saying. You've seen so much of he's been the best defender in the game. And now every time he doesn't make a play or everything, you know, it's like, he's human. But yeah, I see it. But the blue haired kid we had him down two strikes most of the time. And then he just, you know, did a good job of putting it in play after that.
William obviously had the big day, but when you get in the hole against a guy like Imanaga, it's kind of tough to play catch up, isn't it?
I don't know Imanaga that well. You know what I mean? I just don't. He's been in the league. This is year two. I think we've seen him twice now, right? That's it, three times total? I think we've only seen him three times total.
Yeah. Second time this year, it is.
Second time this year, and he got hurt the first time this year, so you didn't really get to see him. So, and the one time we saw him last year, he wasn't as good as he normally is. So, I don't really know who the guy is, but from watching him on tape and watching him in other games, he looks like a terrific pitcher.
Was it good to see from William, though, the two homers? And do you feel like that maybe could be the start of something?
No, Todd, I thought that was awful that we... You know,
let me rephrase that. Do you think it could be the start of something good for him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, William can hit. William can hit. And when you have high expectations and you've been as good as he's been and you're trying to build your career and all the things that come with it, sometimes you go through stretches of not hitting as many homers or not having things go your way or not have the right, you know, approach, whatever. But it's obviously a great sign when he hits one to left field and then one to right field to let you know that could be, you know, I'm okay with William not running hard to first base every time on certain balls, because if you hit a missile right at the shortstop and he catches it, you know, there's no chance, even if the kid falls off the bag a little bit, unless there's an overthrow, you're not going to be safe. But the ones that are slow hit, you got to go. You know what I mean? So that's not acceptable.
Murph, that one today, he should have gone yours. The one today was sort of in the middle, wasn't it?
It was in between the third baseman's left, and he kind of stumbled. You got to go hard.
There is the manager, Pat Murphy, speaking to the media after the game. All highlights and that sound, of course, courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. It is the leadoff show. Tommy Wirtz here live at the Wisconsin State Fair. Charlie Usen back in the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. If you guys are watching on the YouTube stream, you can do that, youtube.com/@thefanmilwaukee, listening in as well. Drop your comments there if you have anything. Maybe we can take calls if you want, even two during this, because I don't usually get this opportunity. I'm usually in there all alone. Charlie, that series against the Cubs, the Brewers cannot be disappointed by that, right? I mean, you looked awesome in the first two games. You're almost glad you had a game where you get punched back in the face. You got to settle in, realize you are human. There are things that go wrong in baseball. But really, I know Mitch Nellis likes to say, hey, you know, it's just another raisin in the trail mix. Those first two games felt like M&Ms, Charlie.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the way that the Brewers just kind of dominated those games, especially after that, in the first game, they went down early, to come back and just control that game for the rest of the way was pretty phenomenal. And honestly, going into the series, I thought the Brewers probably could have lost two of these games, could have lost the series, and they probably would have been okay. they went out and won two of them and won two of them pretty handedly too. And I know the Cubs got them back on that last one, but you kind of have to expect that. The Cubs aren't a bad team by any means. They're going to beat other good teams too, so they're going to steal one of those games. It's good that you got two of them and got two of them good.
Yeah, absolutely. And William Contreras now, I know he had the monster game on the 30th a couple of days ago, but he's actually kind of just been back a little bit right now as well. In his last 17 games, William Contreras is batting .324, has the two home runs, both of them coming on the 30th. His OPS sitting around .826 right now. His pair of homers were his first since the 14th of June. How big, Charlie, do you think William Contreras being back is going to be for this team? They haven't really needed him in the first half. I mean, they have the best record in baseball. Although I did hear that it is the worst winning percentage in the modern era to have the best record coming into August now. But William Contreras pretty much been absent all year, for lack of a better word. And now he gets a monster game against one of the top divisional teams and top teams in Major League Baseball. Now he has an opportunity to really catch some fire and start going here, Charlie.
It's a huge deal for this Milwaukee Brewers team. Having William Contreras, who was by far one of your two leaders last season in that clubhouse, who started off a little slow at the beginning of the season here, now starting to get it going, should resonate with a lot of the other players around him. I said this with Christian Yelich when he started getting going earlier in the season here too. Once he hit that point where he was feeling himself, you could see it affect everybody else. You saw Caleb Durbin swing a little bit more aggressively. You saw Joe Ortiz swing a little bit more aggressively, all because of Christian Yelich starting to find his groove, and they feel like they can help support him if he's going to get going. If you have two of those guys, maybe three of those guys with Andrew Vaughn, if you want to count how hot he's been right now, I mean, you have three players to help radiate that energy to the rest of the roster. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and the Brewers, you know, they really doubled down on their roster, right? Especially after the trade deadline. Brewers, a lot of fans expecting, maybe more hoping, that the Brewers would be active in trade talks. It sounds like there was a little bit of rumblings, you know, for Ryan O'Hearn, Josh Naylor, apparently. There was some talks about that as well, too. But the Brewers really just, Matt Arnold pretty much coming out flat out saying, like, we like our guys better. They are just obsessed with prospects. We talk about going around the minor leagues every single day here with our Building a Winner feature presented by Ironworkers Local 8. And I feel like I am emotionally attached to these prospects. The Brewers have do not want to get rid of a single prospect at all. I had joked about it today earlier. Like, the Brewers and prospects is like a bar putting up a sign that says free beer tomorrow. And every day you come back and they never took the sign down. So it's always free beer tomorrow every time you walk in, just to trick this team back into coming back every single day. And that's really what it is, Charlie. With the prospect system, you get excited with all these great up-and-coming prospects, and they do have maybe the deepest farm in baseball. I'm not just saying this because we cover them, but the Brewers farm system, looking at that deal for Suarez, I mean, the Brewers could have easily made a more enticing deal if they're giving up, Locklear was their number 9 prospect in Arizona, or in Seattle, rather. He was their 9th-ranked prospect, and he was their top first base prospect. The Brewers have Luke Adams, Eric Batanti. If you want to throw in Brock Wilkin, Mike Bovey, but guys who are both on the same outside positions. Andrew Fisher now that just came in. Absolutely. They are stacked at corner infield. They could have easily gave up one of those prospects. And I struggle with it then, because I was kind of leading the anti-Suarez, don't trade anyone. But when I saw the deal, I thought for sure it would be a much bigger haul. Did you as well, Charlie?
Oh, easily. He was the number 1 name on the trade market. And I know there were bigger names that were involved in talks, but realistically, those guys weren't going to be moved anywhere.
Right,
Ronald Acuna's,
Jose Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez, exactly.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Players like that weren't going to get anywhere based on just the talks and rumors that were out there. Suarez was going to be moved no matter what. And the package that was sent for him from Seattle just by far did not meet whatever I expected the Milwaukee Brewers to be able to offer for him. You talk about the corner infielders, the middle infielders, give him Josh Adamczewski. I know people really like him and he has shown pop a little bit, but he's the 4th overall prospect in that middle infield group. the odds of him making it to the Brewers major league level and being an important part of that team eventually are really low. You have Jesus right. Mate, you have Luis Pena, you have all these different players in front of him. You have Cooper Pratt still too, who people seem to forget about sometimes.
Plus
here.
You have guys like, you know, Bryce Terang.
Right.
Is he like off the team? No.
But Caleb Durbin's still
like
here and they love
Caleb Durbin. Same deal, right? I mean, they had so much depth, especially at infield prospects, that I thought that if that was going to be the deal for Suarez, the Brewers should definitely have been involved in talks for Suarez. That's where I was going at with it for sure. Brewers kick off the first game of a three-game series with Washington, the Washington Nationals. Jose Quintana going up against Mitchell Parker today. Tommy Wirtz here, Charlie Usen joining me in the first segment as well, as I'm live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Charlie Usen back in the studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Brewers are 18-6 in their last 24 road games, including 6-1 in their last 7 contests. And Jose Quintana, I don't know if you know this, Charlie, he's pitched a lot of baseball games in his career,
yep.
like more than almost anyone else. I think there's 3 other guys in baseball that have pitched more games in Major League Baseball than Jose Quintana. On top of that, he has great success against Washington. He's 4-1, has a 1.91 ERA and 8 career starts against Washington. He's including 2-0 in 3 starts where he hasn't allowed a run now with the Mets last season. That was the deal he had did with the Mets against the Nationals last year. Nestor Cortez was moved. Jose Quintana was not moved. I think a lot of people expected Nestor Cortez to be in trade conversations and not necessarily Jose Quintana. But Charlie, I think that Jose Quintana could have been a candidate like a Nestor Cortez to get moved for the package that they did bring in. I just think that when it comes down to it, Jose Quintana, the vet status he has and what he brings with the experience, not only do I think Pat Murphy loves that for them, it's got to have a little more value than what Nestor Cortez could bring if it is a down-the-field stretch for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2025.
I think it definitely helps. I think his relationship with Jacob Mizorowski is a huge deal. Sparky
sure.
had brought this up yesterday when we were talking about this, because I was more in the boat that they probably should have traded Jose Quintana. I think Jose Quintana probably had more trade value on the market than a Nestor Cortez. You can get somebody better than a middle-of-the-road prospect that's been playing at the major league level for a couple months now and just hasn't really done anything. I think Jose Quintana brings something else in for you. And that was the main reason I thought that he was maybe going to be the one moved over in Nestor Cortez. I also feel like Nestor Cortez has a higher ceiling than Jose Quintana has. And I think he's shown that in his career. I think Nestor Cortez is a former AL Cy Young candidate. He was a top 3 finisher a couple of years ago. Jose Quintana has the longevity, has pitched more in his MLB career, and has that resume behind him. At the same time, I just think the ceiling is there. When you're talking about this Milwaukee Brewers team who are just so focused on ceilings with how much they want to keep prospects, I think you'd want to keep the guy that has the higher ceiling, in my opinion.
Got an update here on Jackson Churio. Our good buddy Kurt Hogue over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel putting out a nice little piece. And it sounds like the Churio diagnosis is worse than it was first thought of in the aftermath, is what is described as a right hamstring spasm, says Kurt Hogue, while legging out that triple on July 29th. He had said after the game that my leg is a touch tight, this is Churio, but I feel good. Now, the Brewers' tone sounded quite different just a few days later now here in Washington. This is what it says. I don't know, but it won't be anytime soon. It was diagnosed, a little more severe than we initially thought, but to what extent, I am not exactly sure, nor are the medical staff. We are just going to have to rehab it. This sounds awful, Charlie. This sounds just absolutely terrible. The sky is falling. I don't know. You know, this. Remember with Rhys Hoskins, it was like, hey, I want to be back by middle to late
right.
August, and then last week it was like, yeah, I'm going to start rehab assignments in late August. Like, what? Where did that come from? I mean, what is going on now? Churio, you know, Lockridge, I don't think a lot of people are expecting a lot out of Brandon Lockridge, especially if you're looking for the pop that Churio has. There's no one else who could have replaced him in the organization right now. But The Brewers now, it sounds like the Chirio injury is worse. It's Hoskins isn't going to be back probably until early September now, at the earliest maybe. How impactful are these two injuries now, Charlie, for the Milwaukee Brewers? Because I am currently getting more and more nervous now hearing this news about Chirio.
Chirio is definitely a little bit more concerning than a Rhys Hoskins. Hoskins, yes, I'm a little bothered that it's taking a little longer than what was expected. At the same time, I think what we need to realize is that that was Rhys Hoskins that was saying that, the player. And it wasn't a doctor. It wasn't the team giving him that timeline. It was Rhys Hoskins saying that he felt like he could be back by that mid to late August point. Now, the rehab process and how you feel 2 weeks later may not be the same as anybody else that went through that same kind of injury. And that's probably what's happening here. It's just taking longer than what was expected, what he was told by the doctors at first, because he's not everybody else that's gone through this. He's a different person with a different rehab process and may take a little longer. With Chirio, that's a bigger deal because it's Jackson Chirio. I mean, right now we're watching Andrew Vaughn. I think most people forgot Rhys Hoskins is on this team. Like, right. That's where we're at. So with a Jackson Chirio, you're going to feel that hole in this lineup. That's going to be an issue if we're losing that big of a bat, especially a guy that was starting to get going here. Again, we talked about a William Contreras getting hot. Jackson Chirio was in the same boat too, and now we're losing that.
Very, very similar to his rookie season where it's just all of a sudden it was like, oh, this guy's good, right? I mean, it was a slow start to the year for Chirio. Not as slow as the rookie year, but just then consistently, oh my gosh, this guy is just not, he's getting on base every game. Chirio's just coming off the 20-game hit streak, and he was just, I believe, the eighth ever time that's happened. It might have been the seventh ever time that it happened. And Jackson Chirio now sounds like the injury a little more severe. It's just a 10-day IL stint for now, but obviously you know that they can retroactive a lot more. I'm hopeful that, you know, we see Jackson Chirio in the month of August, but at this rate, I don't know what that means. It sounds more severe, makes it sound really severe. That's what I at least get from that reporting from Kurt Hogue. Coming up, we're going to talk to Austin Herdina over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We got a chance to talk with him earlier today on the Mason Crosby Show as well. Go back, listen to that on Free Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Now all shows are podcasted here on The Fan. Plus, you can rewatch any of these videos as well on our YouTube page. That's youtube.com/@TheFanMilwaukee. Make sure you put that at symbol. Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports is going to be joining us as well. He'll join at about 5:15 today. We'll pick his brain about what he was reacting to with the Brewers trade deadline. Plus, we'll get you guys all caught up on Brewers Nationals. First pitch today scheduled for 5:45 from Washington. Apple TV Plus exclusive. I mean, we got to talk about that at some point here, too. I wonder if the Pottawatomie Sportsbook has Apple TV Plus. They have to. I mean, they have everything there. So it would. Yeah, they have to have it. He was telling me that their like cable bill could be in the five figures sometimes because they pay part of the occupancy of the place. And, you know, there's, and I mean, at sometimes because, like, when they buy a UFC pay-per-view, they have to buy the occupancy, Charlie. So it's, like, maxed out, as expensive as it gets. That's how much they do it. And they do it because they love you guys over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Austin Herdina is going to be coming up next. It is the leadoff show live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Charlie back in the studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
At the wall, looking up. See you later.
Let's get the latest on today's odds for the game. What's the best way to go? Let's check in with our expert from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook to find out. It's the leadoff show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the leadoff show. Tommy Wirtz here with you, live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Charlie back in the studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Before we get into our betting odds, courtesy of the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, let me run down the Milwaukee Brewers starting lineup again for you guys here today. Leading things off in right field, the newest Milwaukee Brewer, Brandon Lockridge. The designated hitter will be William Contreras. He bats second. Christian Yelich in left field will bat third. Andrew Vaughn at first base bats fourth today. Caleb Durbin at third base will bat fifth. Danny Jansen, the catcher, will bat sixth. Blake Perkins in center field batting seventh today. Andrew Monasterio at second base will bat eighth. Joey Ortiz, the shortstop, batting ninth. He will round things out for the Milwaukee Brewers today. Now, betting odds courtesy of the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. No Austin Herdina today. I got that messed up. Looking over at the most popular bets courtesy of the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Brewers favored today over the Washington Nationals, minus 148 on the money line, the run line of -1.5. You'll get plus money on the Brewers at plus 114, and the over-under set at 8.5. That is minus 114 on the over, minus 106 on the under. I think that whenever you can get the Brewers going up against the Washington Nationals on plus money with the 1.5 run line, you got to take that. Now, you're getting plus 114 on Brewers run line today. They got to win by 2 over Washington. I think that's a fair bet. I think everyone loves that. Looking over some of the props to get a parlay for the people going here, courtesy of the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I think it's only fair and only fun that I look over this, and Charlie, I don't know about you how much you're into sports betting here, but I always tend to think that the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and Vegas knows what's going to happen a little bit beforehand. Not that they do know, but like, as in, they should be running the country with how locked in they are on everything betting odds. And Brandon Lockridge today, he's batting leadoff for the Brewers, so you know he's going to get 4 ABs today, maybe 5 if everything's going well. He's got minus 245 odds to get a hit today. And it's a new team, a new look. Look at what it did for Andrew Vaughn. I'm going to take Brandon Lockridge to record a hit today, and then I want to look over at the first inning. And the first inning right here has Brewers at plus 255. They have the no runs in there for the first inning. I'm going to take the over, actually, on runs in the first inning. I think that we'll see a run come across to score at some point in the first inning. So the parlay for the people today brought to you by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We're going Brewers run line of 1.5. Brandon Lockridge, get some new luck with your new team to get a hit, and the over of a half a run in inning number one. It'll pay plus 360 over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I did not do that math on my own. The Pottawatomie Sportsbook website is awesome. I mean, it literally does the math as you just click buttons. You can try to make something as unique and as crazy odds as you want, or just keep things safe and wait till you get over to the plus money side and try to help out. But for instance, if you put 10 bucks today on Brewers run line of -1.5, Brandon Lockridge to record a hit, and the over of a half a run in inning number one, you put 10 bucks on it, you win 36 bucks today over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook if that hits. I also like going in inning number one because you kind of know if it's going to hit or not right away. I just want my bets quick, easy action to know if there's going to be a run. So one more time, the parlay for the people today over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It is the Brewers run line -1.5, Brandon Lockridge to record a hit, and the over of a half a run in inning number one. Pottawatomie Sportsbook has a lot of awesome things going on. Not only do they have the most massive TVs that you've ever seen in your life, I think it's like 2,000 square feet that the screen covers there. They show every single game everywhere you can imagine. I mean, they have bets up there not just for baseball and football, but I'm looking over at the side. They have Formula One bets. They got motorsports. They got cricket for all you cricket fans out there. Table tennis has 109 bets up right now over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. I know nothing about table tennis, but it would be just electric to go in there, watch that for the first time over at Pottawatomie. They have a great staff. Hospitality is off the charts. They're doing fantasy football drafts there this year. They're going to let you guys rent out either the VIP front section that they have there or the second level. That's where I would go. The second level over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook is awesome. Looks great there. You get a perfect view of everything. And it's $49.99. But they give you $10 in slot play, so really you can make it almost out like it's $39.99. On top of that, they're going to only charge you for the food and drinks that you get. You get three drinks with that, then they bring you food all while it's there. It includes the tip. It includes the tax. It is not more than $49.99 right now to get a person to go get your fantasy football drafts all caught up and everything over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tomorrow and Sunday, they're going to be showing SummerSlam. That's going to be awesome for all you WWE wrestling fans. SummerSlam is going to be on for free. All you got to do is walk in. You got to make your reservations if you want over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook website. Click on the Pottawatomie website. Go to the Sportsbook tab. The events tab will show you where you can book. You can make sure you got your seats locked in for either Saturday or Sunday. SummerSlam going to be on over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Charlie, I know you're not a wrestling guy, and I really haven't been for a while either, but, like, why not go watch it over at the Sportsbook, right? Like, that, if you're going to watch it anywhere, like, that seems like the coolest place to watch it.
Might become a wrestling fan that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Mitch Thunder Nellis, I think, expected to maybe pop in there all on Sunday, so he's talking about it. Nothing, yeah, yeah, but plenty of hugs to go around with Mitch Thunder Nellis if you are going to be there. I'm sure if you go up to him, he umpired the Madison versus Marquette softball game in a shirt that said free hugs that I bought for
awesome.
Him. So you know Mitch Nellis is always down for that. One more time, our parlay for the people today. It is Brewers run line of -1.5. Brandon Lockridge to record a hit, and the over of a half a run in inning number one, it'll pay +360, courtesy of the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Well, we were talking about how Jose Quintana has been in the league for quite some time. How does the Washington Nationals matchup favor or not Jose Quintana? We'll go through it right here. It is our Eye on the Enemy feature.
Nobody likes them.
Craig Counsell returning to American Family Field.
We all want to see them lose.
It's not my job to tell people how to feel about something or even to, like, figure it out. Like, let people feel how they want to feel, and I'm good with that, you know, and I think it doesn't have to be all positive.
It's time to eye up the enemy for today's game. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Eye on the Enemy just doesn't hit the same when they're not playing the Cubs. I mean, you hear Craig Counsell's voice. You get some sound over from our friends at 670 The Score in Chicago. You get to just feel the hate of Enemy. It really stands out. But it doesn't actually really with Washington at this moment. Jose Quintana pitching against the Washington Nationals. A lot of experience against Quintana in Major League Baseball. C.J. Abrams, 2-for-11 in his career, 182 average. That's not great. James Wood, who's been on a tear all year, is batting just 1-for-8 in his career. The only man that has taken Jose Quintana deep in Washington's lineup is Paul DeJong. He's 3-for-15 with a homer, has 5 strikeouts as well. Luis Garcia has a 2-for-4 appearances now against Jose. Nathaniel Lowe is 1-for-6. Riley Adams, 3-for-9. Jacob Young, 1-for-9. On the other side, Mitchell Parker, another lefty going for the Washington Nationals today. William Contreras is 2-for-7 in his career. Christian Yelich, 1-for-2, has a homer. Andrew Vaughn, 1-for-5, has a homer. Caleb Durbin's batting .500. Best batting average on the team. Andrew Monasterio, 2-for-2 in his career against Mitchell Parker this year as well. That is your Eye on the Enemy report. Let's take a look around the minor leagues real quick before we get over to Drew Wagner. It's our Building a Winner feature.
The key to building a winner in baseball is a strong minor league system. Who are the names we should know? How did they play in their last game? It's time for Building a Winner, powered by Ironworkers Local 8. Apply today at IWL8.org and join the Brotherhood Building Milwaukee Skyline. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, time for another Building a Winner feature presented by Ironworkers Local 8, Building Milwaukee's future one beam at a time. Let's start things off in AAA with Nashville.
Nashville sounds.
Yeah, kind of anticlimactic because the weather rained the game out. They did not play yesterday. Nashville back on the bump today with a doubleheader. Tobias Myers on the hill for the Nashville Sounds. They're 60-42 currently on the year. Let's go another level down. Let's get to Biloxi.
Biloxi Shuckers.
Mike Bovey, 2-for-5 in the last game. They lost 9-3 to the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. However, Luis Lara, new recent top 10 prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, 1-for-3 in the game. Today, it'll be Nate Peterson going for Biloxi as they are going with game 4 of that series. How about in High A, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin Timber Rattlers.
Timber Rattlers win their last game against the Lake County Captains. Tanner Gillis will be on the bump today. Manuel Rodriguez had just one run on 2 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts in his 6 innings of work in the 5-4 victory that took 10 innings. Blake Burke went 1-for-4 in the contest. Keep a lookout now. 11-22, however, for the Timber Rattlers in the second half. It has been a rough showing indeed in Appleton right now. Low A, that's where it gets exciting.
Carolina Mudcats.
Carolina Mudcats. Luis Pena 1-for-4. Josh Adam Chesky 1-for-3 in the last game. However, coming up short, Carolina loses 3-0. Still in first place in the North Division of the Carolina League, however, and they are currently sitting at 20-11 in the second half, 56-39 overall. Complex League season is over. Unfortunately, don't get to hear any more action about Jaden Fielder for quite some time until he gets brought up or moved up in that time frame. Dominican Summer League, however, Brewers blue team fall to the Dodgers mega team. I don't even know. I thought the teams were crazy names in minor league baseball. Dominican Summer League, they just be naming you after colors, after coaches, after, you know, sizes. Mega, for instance, here. They lose 5-4. DSL Gold Team wins over the Dominican Summer League Reds 2-1, however. They are now 18-23 in their season. This Building a Winner feature presented by Ironworkers Local 8, building Milwaukee's future one beam at a time. Coming up, we're going to talk to Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports, get his insight on Brewers Nationals game number 1 of the series. Jose Quintana going up against Mitchell Parker. It is the leadoff show. We are live from the Wisconsin State Fair. Charlie back in the studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Leadoff Show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign your kids up now for July open tryouts at focusbaseball.com, ages 6 to 17.
Welcome back to the Leadoff Show. Tommy Wirtz here with you live from the Wisconsin State Fair grounds. Charlie Usen back in studio, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Before we get to Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports, let me run down Milwaukee's lineup one last time for you guys here today for Game 1 against Washington. Newest Brewer, Brandon Lockridge in right field will lead things off. William Contreras, the DH, will bat second. Christian Yelich in left field will bat third. Andrew Vaughn at first base in the cleanup spot today. Caleb Durbin at third base will bat fifth. Danny Jansen is catching, batting sixth. Blake Perkins in center field bats seventh. Andrew Monasterio at second base will bat eighth. Joey Ortiz rounds things out. He is the shortstop, batting ninth today for the crew. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law Offices, presented by Focus Baseball, it is Drew Wagner. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. Drew, I cheated and I heard you, but I knew that you would be all about the Wisconsin State Fair. How often do you get to the fair, Drew?
Not as much anymore. I mean, I spent the better part of 10 years working there. So, yeah, I love me some fair.
I mean, live music, food, beer, that just seems right up your alley. And I'll probably take a little walk around, see if I can find something to eat after we wrap up here. Drew, real briefly, just talk about this one question here. How do you think the Brewers got to feel after that Cubs series? I know you get punched in the mouth the last game of the series, but overall, I mean, it was on pace to be looking like the best series they played all year until that third game.
Yeah, I mean, you feel pretty good about it. You take 2 or 3, you win the series at home. You still have 5 more big games looming against them at their place later this month. Season series is tied. Listen, winning that season series is big. There's no more tiebreaker games anymore. So it's important to win those series. It's important to win those games. It's important to win that season series. I think they feel good about where they're at right now. They've got a daunting task yet ahead of them. But all in all, I mean, that's what you want to do. You know, you take two or three from home and go on to the next.
Drew, I have a question for you, because now it sounds like what we're hearing some reporting that the Jackson Churio injury might be a little more serious than we thought. I don't know what that means, but it's not just a cramp happened during that time. Now, do you think the Brewers' approach would have been any different at the trade deadline if they knew that news, or did they know that going into it and they still decided that those were the moves they were going to make?
I mean, I don't know how much they knew. I'm sure it was something that they thought about. I don't think that they were going to go out there and suddenly start shopping around for a big-time outfielder.
Yeah.
Because I still don't think they're expecting to be gone that long, and they do have some options available in the minor leagues and in their system if they need to replace it. It's unfortunate, that's for sure, especially because it sounds like he's going to miss a couple of weeks here, and it's an important couple of weeks. So I don't know how much it would have changed things.
Well, how did you feel about their trade deadline as a whole, Drew? Do you think that they addressed the needs properly? I was on your team on, you know, don't sell the farm to go out and get Suarez. We talked a little bit about that deal, I think off air, but you know, I thought that the Brewers, you know, they go add a bullpen arm. That's what we were expecting. And now they just bring in a guy like Lockridge. With Churio being out, he's going to be stepped up to ask in as that fourth outfielder right now. Overall, the trade deadline, I know you're never surprised, but anything surprise you of what the Brewers did?
Not really. I think it would have been a different story if there would have been, you know, if Geno Suarez was a shortstop, I think maybe it's a different conversation.
Sure.
Because yes, that was their big need, and there really wasn't anybody out there that fit that need. And short of that, are you going to really reshuffle everything and kind of mess up what you have just to fit a guy in there? I don't think that was the right thing to do. So I'm not really surprised by it. I thought you might have seen a little bit more action in terms of getting rid of Cortez or Quintana, kind of spreading out some of that depth. I thought maybe there would have been a little bit more interest in some relief arms, but again, as we saw the prices for relievers, I'm not too shocked that the Brewers decided to stand pat.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And we're talking to Drew Wagner here, Forbes Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. I couldn't believe the price of relievers and then seeing that Suarez deal. And do you think that it was just all purely contract situation? That's why the haul wasn't nearly as much? Because if they wanted a first base prospect within their top 10 of the farm or top 15 of the farm, I mean, the Brewers have like three of those guys that they could have sent over for Suarez if they wanted to really get that deal done, Drew. You think they just like their guys more?
I think that's what it came down to. At the end of the day, they like their guys. They decided to double down on what they've got. I mean, listen, this group put together the best record in baseball.
Yep.
Whether you want to nitpick about it, Andrew Vaughn looks like he's the real deal, and that could be the bat that you need. You still have to figure out a way to fit Rhys Hoskins back in the lineup in a couple of weeks. You know, you're going to fit Churio back in. Like, they've got pieces that they have to work with. They've got pieces coming back, and they've got plenty of arms to go to if they want to be creative with fresh arms in the bullpen. So, all in all, I think they looked at it as there is no real glaring weakness that can be addressed out there. Let's stand pat with what we have and make a go of it.
Drew, what about Shelby Miller? I know we haven't had any home games during this stretch, so but if you've heard anything, you know, he's on the IL as well right now. Montgomery, it sounds like that was a trade to, you know, just make sure that they didn't have to give up any prospects in order to get Shelby Miller. But Miller's on the 10-day IL currently right now. He hasn't had a rehab assignment yet. Do we have any timetable at all as to when he could join the Major League club?
No, only certain reporters got to be privy to the phone call with Matt Arnold yesterday. So, from what we heard, it's going to be soon. There's no timetable yet. I'm sure they'll get a better idea of that when they sit down and they talk with them. I'm intrigued to see what he can bring to the table. I've been a Shelby Miller fan for a long time. I said on Sparky's show earlier, you know, he had been brought in on a non-roster deal in 2020.
Right.
And I was really excited to see, like, you knew that he wasn't going to be ready to go until late in the season. I was really excited to see what he could bring to the table that year. Of course, the pandemic kind of wiped everything out, and he's bounced around a little bit since. But there's something about this Brewers organization when they get a hand on these pitchers that have been through some tough times in the past that tends to work out. And this could be one of those guys, you know, that they don't need him to go out there and pitch a full season, a sub 2 ERA. They just go up there for about, you know, 15, maybe 20 appearances and be really good. And I think he's got that in the tank.
Drew Wagner joining us here on the Leadoff Show. Drew, thank you so much. We'll have to get you back down to the fair at some time, maybe. You know, if we can get you like one of these, I see there's like a scooter rental place right next to me. If you need one of those, I can probably hook you up. I'm sure we can get you tickets in some capacity too, Drew.
I'm walk down there just to smack you in the face for that.
Drew, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your night. We'll do it again tomorrow, my friend.
Later.
There he is, Drew Wagner. I always think, like, maybe I'll mess with him, and I, you know, he'll soften up. I probably am just making him more and more mad at me
yep.
every time I say that.
One of these days, he's not coming back.
Yeah,
we're going to call just, he's not.
I know. I like to think it's playful fun, but sometimes maybe I'm just hurting his feelings at this time. Last thing we do before we get out of here, today's keys to the game.
How does the crew win today's game? Who needs to step up? Let's find out with the keys to the game. It's the Leadoff Show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Keys to the game, how we wrap up every Leadoff Show here. Let's point to Brandon Lockridge, right? Let's point to Danny Jansen. These new guys here in the lineup, would love to see something out of them today. If that could ignite something with the Milwaukee Brewers, that's going to be huge. Jose Quintana has had success against Washington also in his career. As I read off, he's currently got a sub-2 ERA in his career against Washington. It should be an awesome one indeed. But the new guys and Jose Quintana, Brandon Lockridge, Danny Jansen, Jose Quintana, today's keys to the game. Charlie, thank you so much for hanging out with me for the last hour here. We're going to do it again Monday and Tuesday. I'll be down here at the Fan. The Leadoff Show returns back tomorrow as game number 2 of the series kicks off between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Washington Nationals. That'll be Brandon Woodruff going up against Jake Irvin. First pitch at 3:05. We'll be back at 2 o'clock. Live from the Wisconsin State Fair Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It is the Leadoff Show. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Oh, and don't forget, send them home.